African American farmers have long faced hurdles when it comes to growing food. Racist lending practices, lost land, and aging population have led to questions about whether the black farm even has a future. One answer might be found in the city. Sandhya Dirks from Here Now contributor KQED reports.
This is the story of two farmers from very different worlds.
For the longest time, I looked up on how you say urban gardeners or farmers are just a fad. They don't produce much, and they just, you know, just doing something to say they.
That's Ben Burkett. He's a fourth-generation rural farmer from Mississippi. He's still planting some of the same okra seed pods passed down through his family.
The story is that a young lady was captured in West Africa, and she was brought to, they call it New Iberia, sold into slavery. And she held those pods of okra in her hand all the way across the Atlantic Ocean.
He thought it was just family folklore until he visited West Africa.
And I look at the pod they had in the pods I grow. It's a little fat pod. Still a long slender, I say, might be a little truth to this story.
Burkett has a working wisdom of how to sow and reap, a wisdom not written down in books, but held in his hands. And as young people move to cities and away from farms, he has fewer future generations to pass his wisdom on to.
Most of the young people trying to leave the farm, and these young people trying to come to the farm.
He's talking about young people like Kelly Carlisle. She grew up far from the Mississippi Delta in Oakland, California.
My parents were street vendors, and from, you know, age 13, I knew that I wanted to be in an office.
Carlisle got that office job in the first dot-com boom, but when the boom went bust, she lost it. One day, unemployed and looking for air conditioning, she stumbled into a nursery and spotted a lemon tree. She didn't know how things grew. She thought,
who would tie this giant lemon on this tiny little tree?
She says it seemed like a kind of magic.
I actually bought the lemon tree to dare it to do it again. And within a month, we had two more lemons. And I mean, that was when I knew. That was when I was like, I love everything about this. What else can I grow?
So Carlisle started her own farm, a small one, just a quarter acre in Oakland. Carlisle still had a lot to learn about farming. So she started trying to find other farmers, other black farmers. One place she found them, the Black Urban Growers Conference, known as BUGS. Last year, she helped bring the conference to Oakland. It was at BUGS where she first met Ben Burkett.
I was telling him how, you know, our collards don't do well in the summertime. You know, they go to seed very quickly. And he's like, well, I always use the light of the moon cycles to grow in. And I started laughing. I laughed in his face. You know, I'm like, that's not real. Who does that? Like, you're some kind of Wiccan out there, like, oh, the moon is full, you know, like using your life's blood to plant collard greens. No, that's not real.
Side note, it's real. It's a meet cute kind of moment, the brand new urban farmer laughing at the folksy wisdom of the old timer. But Carlisle is the first to admit how much she needs Burkett and farmers like him. They might be polar opposites, one rural, the other urban, but they are both black farmers, and that binds them together.
I used to liken farming and fava beans and kale with Pilates. You know, who do you see doing Pilates? You know? It doesn't look like us.
Carlisle says the conversation around organic farming and sustainability has customarily been pretty white, led by mostly white voices.
I don't have anything to say to Michael Pollan or Joel Salatin or Mark Bittman. I don't have anything to say to those guys. You know, they have their place, and kudos to you for making white people eat better.
But for black people to eat better, they have to combat stigma from all sides.
It's certainly not just from white men and white women, you know. It's also from my own people, you know.
Remember those collard greens Burkett was advising Carlisle on?
I once had a bumper crop of collard greens. And I went to one of our neighbors here in the neighborhood, and I was like, Miss, you know, this entire bag, it's yours. Please, you know, do you want any collard greens? And she recoiled from me, and she's, no, where did you get that? And I was like, I got it from my farm, which is right here in your neighborhood. And she said, you say you got a farm back there? I was like, yeah, I'm a farmer. She says, oh, girl, no. Why would you call yourself that? That's terrible.
But Carlisle is proud to call herself a farmer, even though her farm is tiny. She dreams, she says, of one day having real acreage outside the city. But first, she wants to make organic food, farm-to-table food, something that's available and desirable for those in her neighborhood, too. That's one big reason her farm doubles as a camp and after-school program, where she teaches kids to farm, passing on lessons, just like her southern counterpart, Ben Burkett, did for her.
I'm going to do what I can to pass on the knowledge and the wisdom, and even if they want to come to Mississippi.
Together, these two farmers are connecting okra pods that traveled on slave ships from West Africa to drugstore lemon trees to create a future for the black farm. For Here and Now, I'm Sandhya Dirks in Oakland.